Beathard sets up deep in the pocket. Goes down the field for Smith.
Does not have the leg. And Chris Davis takes it in the back of the end zone. He'll run it out to the 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45. There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game.
Don't miss a thing from the world of college football. Stay right here for College Gridiron on WFUV Sports.
Hello and welcome into the Rose Hill Studios for another episode of College Gridiron, WFUV's premier spot for all things college football. You're listening to Isabella Terracini, Barrett Spreitzer, and Chase Benson on the air today with Caleb Stein behind the board. Lads, how we doing?
Well, it's been a rough week, we'll put it that way. Might get fired from my unpaid internship. I know, that's tragic. Haven't done any work for it this week. We'll see what happens.
Well, that will get you fired.
But it's unpaid. It's unpaid, so who cares?
But pick up the slack.
Unpaid internships should be illegal.
Well, yeah. Chase?
I just got to lock in for my midterms next week. I kind of cooked on my math one. I got like a 96. But other than that, I'm feeling not very confident, let's just say, in the other ones. So I'm going to maybe call in a tutor sesh, you know, last minute, and we'll see how it goes. But
I have faith. I believe in you.
I don't. Right,
well, but, okay. You know what? Let's be nice here. This is a family-friendly, kind place. This is only kindness is accepted here.
That's a new rule.
Yeah, that is a new rule. I'm taking that back because this is College Gridiron, and there are some teams that, you know, don't really deserve the kindness, unfortunately.
Like UT.
Well, let's not go there. But we all have our own little niche things that we want to say. But getting like straight into it, it is week 8 of 15 and we're over halfway and a lot's happened. But just to start off, let's go over some week 7 things. There were 4 games that went into overtime.
We started off with the first game of the day,
yeah.
OT, but absolutely started hot with SC Bama and then just kept that going with the OT games.
Yeah, it was a packed Saturday.
Last game of the day, too, second to last game of the day with the Colorado game was close. Kansas State pulled that out. Just close games all over the place, OT games all over the place. Absolute thriller of a weekend. Could not have asked for any more out of the slate that a lot of people said was going to be the best slate all year, best slate of the decade in college football. And I think it really delivered. So,
absolutely.
For all of the hype surrounding last weekend, for it to be as good as it was shocking, but also just absolutely incredible.
I think that's the point of college football. It's like it's exactly what you want it to be. It can be, you know, 4 overtime games in one day and a Alabama, University of South Carolina, absolute nail biter. And then you've got, you know, Quinn Ewers coming off a huge injury and he threw one interception in the first drive, and then he was killing it the rest of the game. I mean, that pretty much sums up week 7, but do y'all have any, like, super hot takes on it?
I think my hottest take of week 7 is that Penn State being number 3 is absolutely egregious.
I think it's a little bit odd.
I know they haven't lost. They're a Big Ten team that hasn't lost. They're not the number 3 team in the country. There's no justifying it for me. You played a 3-point game against USC. USC is not the best. Like, decent team, sure. Good talent all around, but just not a great team. Play a 3-point game there. You've played some close games against teams you really should not be playing close games against. Drew Aller still, to me, hasn't proved that he's a top college quarterback. Still hasn't proved that really the potential is there. Hasn't proved to me that he'll ever be able to capitalize on that potential. And I think Penn State is going to be the first team to really fall out of that top 5 and just take a tumble, potentially missing the playoff. Because I know they have a weaker Big Ten schedule. They don't really play anyone. But still, they get into that Big Ten championship with a loss and then losing the Big Ten championship. They could be a top 5 team that ends up missing the playoff because I just don't see it. And way too many close games for them to be ranked as high as they are.
Absolutely. What do you think?
So last week was a little bit of a busy weekend for me, can't lie. I didn't watch a lot of the games, but I did read about a few of them, including obviously the Alabama-South Carolina game. that's I was just reading that it went what was it? Let me see. It was Alabama. They stopped him on a 2-point conversion late, right? And then it was they gave up an onside kick, and so they had one more chance, but they picked him off in the end zone. Was that right?
Yeah, can we talk about that 2-point conversion?
No, both of them failed.
What was happening there? That was just...
I don't know. It was just... This guy throws way too high. Way too high for my liking.
Yeah. Sellers, Lenora Sellers, first of all, horrible name, stupid name. Second of all, horrible quarterback, dude. Just... Oh, my goodness. What are we doing?
Almost had Bama. He almost did,
and he did. He did his absolute best, and he succeeded to throw that game away.
Heartbreaking, and a 2-point conversion into the end zone that just like actually made me want to just get on my hands and knees and just start crying. It was heartbreaking. He just has way too hard of an arm, and he just got caught in the offense in a really hard spot in the end. I mean, it wasn't his best, but I think he'll recover from this. And come back and, you know, maybe complete a 2-point soon.
Hopefully not, because they play A&M soon. So hopefully he never completes a pass again.
Well, okay.
But we're not biased on this show at all. This is a very unbiased show.
Not with this group, unfortunately.
This group is the most unbiased.
Maybe.
Has my bias ever come out on this show?
It just did.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay.
Short-term memory loss. Yeah. I don't know what's happening.
All right. Maybe it's that baseball brain.
Probably. Too many concussions.
Well, yeah. Do you ever like hit the bat like up against your head?
No, but I played football and I have had a lot. I've actually had more baseball concussions than football concussions.
That's ridiculous.
And I've had a lot of football concussions.
Okay, so. But this is a football show. Sorry.
Yeah, that's why I'm talking about football concussions.
Well, who else had a football concussion?
Me.
Okay.
Like 3 times.
Okay. Well...
Chase looks like he's been concussed a couple times.
All right, so, okay. First of all, I never actually played football in high school because my mom didn't want me to play specifically for that reason. She wanted to keep the brain intact is what she would tell me. My dad, he said he didn't care. He definitely did. He definitely wanted me to play. He played, like, all 4 years at high school, and he absolutely loved it because there's just no other sport, like team bonding-wise, there's no other sport like it. And my dad always wanted me to play, but my mom always had the upper hand in that conversation. So I wish I could.
Mom's
I know you've
the
been
boss.
Concussed a
mom
lot.
Mom is always the boss.
Mom is always the boss in my household, for sure. Baseball, I've never actually received a concussion. I've never had a concussion. I did play basketball, too. And, I mean, I played pretty hard, and I still just, I guess I...
Lucky guy.
Thick skull.
I guess I was a lucky guy, yeah.
Thick skull.
Thick skull, small brain.
All right.
Okay. Okay. Okay, the Ewers' return and the first drive of the game, an interception. Unfortunate. But he's missed a few games. He just came back. This was the biggest game probably of their season next to UT A&M. It's the Red River rivalry. Ended 34-3. Unfortunately, Tyler Keltner was the only scorer of the game with 142-yard field goal. How familiar does that sound?
Pretty familiar.
Yeah.
Just OU's offense is kind of horrible, and it's not really even their own fault. It's just everyone is hurt, and the talent just doesn't seem to be there, which is justifiable when literally the entire team is hurt, but it's a hard watch. Like,
yeah.
It's hard to watch them play football because they are not a good offense.
Yeah.
Quinn Ewers, though, I will say...
He bounced back pretty fast.
He looked a little bit rough at times, which you can attribute to him missing, what was it, 3 weeks, 4 weeks?
3 weeks.
3 weeks, right? Definitely not his best start. Definitely not championship contender worthy start. But there were definitely flashes. It's a great game for him to get settled back in. Rivalry
game.
There's
probably a lot of pressure on him, too.
Yeah, so I will say, rivalry game, first game back.
Is pretty big. It's a pretty big
and
deal. When
they
he,
blow
when,
out, they blew him out. So like you can't really hold too much against him.
Yeah.
He didn't look great though, is what we'll say. And so if he plays like this for the remainder of the season, it's gonna be rough. But first game back, we'll cut him a little bit of slack. Rivalry game, good completion percentage. Just there weren't a whole lot of tough throws that he made. They were obviously playing very conservative with him. He didn't have to make a whole lot of throws because it was a blowout early, 21-3 at halftime. And OU didn't look like they were doing anything. They scored early and was lights out the rest of the game. So when there's not a whole lot asked of you, right, there's not a whole lot of opportunities to be amazing.
Yeah.
But he was good enough. A little bit questionable, but again, we'll attribute that to it being his first game back. excited to see what he does this weekend against Georgia.
Absolutely. That's also a excited huge to see.
We'll get into it a little bit later.
Yeah, absolutely.
But this will be also Carson Beck's kind of redemption for that first half against Alabama, right? If he comes out like he did against Alabama in the first half, yikes. If he comes out like he did in the second half against Alabama, watch out, UT. They're on upset watch. But we'll get into that game a little bit
Should
later.
Should we just get straight into that one?
We might as well.
Well, this is the first time that Georgia is an underdog in the past 50 games.
That's an insane
stat. That is an insane stat. Okay, this is a big... This is also a huge rivalry of the mascots. I don't know if you remember this when, like, it was Ugga.
Bevo and Ugga just Bevo went at each other.
Just, like,
yeah.
Bevo just, like, trampled, and the dog was just picked up and, like, ran away. I think about that video all the time. And I'm so excited
I love that video.
For that to be run back. This is the first time that Texas is playing an AP top matchup since 08 and a win over OU. And, I mean, Texas defense only allows 229 yards in a game and 6 points. So they lead in both those categories. So I don't know. Who do you think I have in this game? Be honest.
I would completely unbiased, I would assume Texas.
Well, yeah, completely
no
unbiased.
No bias in there.
We are unbiased journalists in this studio.
Yeah, but I would probably also lean towards Texas just because what I've seen out of Georgia this year has not been super convincing. They had the big win against Clemson, who has now turned out to be a very good team. They lost to Alabama, who has had a rough couple of weeks. They played a close game against Mississippi State last week. Auburn, they didn't look super convincing. It's not the Georgia we're used to seeing. We're not even going to talk about the fact that the Kentucky game was 13-12. Like, we're not even going to do that because that's horrible.
This is not the Georgia team we grew up with.
There's so much talent on this Georgia team. It just almost feels like they're complacent. Like, there's not a whole lot of guys who, like, there's not a whole lot of fire behind these guys trying to, you know, prove that they're not just riding on the coattails of the great Georgia teams of the past, right? You thought, you know, they missed the playoff last year. You thought they'd come out with a fire. You thought they'd say, hey, we deserve to be in the playoff. We were the best team in the country last year, which I still thought they were. I thought they deserved to be in the playoff. I thought they were the best team in the country last year. Then they came out this year, and it just had the great first game against Clemson, and then since then it's just looked flat, and I just don't. This is the game. If it's going to happen for Georgia this year, this is the game.
This is where they need
it's
to
gonna
turn
have
it around.
To, because if they lose this, now that's two losses, probably not going to make the SEC championship game with two losses because, I mean, Texas probably won't lose then for the rest of the season. You're looking at an A&M team with one SEC loss. You're looking at a Tennessee team with probably one SEC loss.
Oh, Vandy.
Vandy, sorry. Maybe.
That's funny. That was just funny in my head.
Yeah, but...
it's true. It could be true.
This game will define this Georgia Bulldogs season. It'll define how the SEC... And it's the first real test for Texas in the SEC as well against one of the big dogs. And so it'll be interesting to see. It's good that Texas has it on the road, at home. It'll be a good test to see if the Texas fan base is really an SEC fan base, if they show out, because they've been known not to show out at times, especially with the packed weekend at Formula One. You know,
well, Georgia,
those UT fans will take any excuse not to go to the games, whether it's ACL, whether it's the F1. You know, it'll be questionable whether the stadium's full.
I'm sorry that Austin is just a super fun city, but, I mean, Georgia Bulldogs and Formula One, I'm not sure if that's the best mix on one weekend, but I digress. Chase?
It's
a dig.
Yep. Okay.
All right. Well, I've only been to Texas one time, and I absolutely loved it. So I'm just going to say that I had family out there for a while. It was great. I did go to Austin. Really cool place. But I would say
not
also—
Not quite College Station, though.
What does College Station have?
Kyle Field.
Okay. What else?
They have this really cool putt-putt place. That's pretty dope. Oh, they have an exotic animal safari that I went to. They have giraffes and rhinos and a hippopotamus.
Okay, well, do they have a bevo?
That's
what I thought.
They have a
hippo. Anyways, continue.
They have a hippo named Jeff.
So I was going to say that I think... This you could say this is probably one of, if not the hardest matchup Texas has had on paper, let's just say, throughout the season. So other than like, yeah, it's going to be a really pivotal game for Georgia, and this could be a really big, like, up to this point, season-defining game for them. This is also really important for Texas in the same way, as in, like, some people are saying, like, yeah, maybe they haven't really played the best competition so far, and Georgia probably will be that competition that they see. So this could turn a lot of heads.
Absolutely. I think this is, like, Texas is going against, like, a veteran sort of team. This is, like, you know, this team has a legacy. They have, you know, standards that they need to be living up to, and maybe they're not living up to them right now, and Texas can just come in and, like, wipe those dreams right away.
Just wipe them away.
Yeah, but that game is on Saturday at 7:30, primetime spot. College game day will be there.
Ooh.
To film another Uga Bevo fight. But going back to like earlier in the day slate, Bama at Tennessee at 3:30, another ranked matchup. Number 7 Bama at Tennessee at Rocky Top. And some food for thought here is each team lost to an unranked opponent on October 6th before barely beating another unranked team on October 12th. And Tennessee is coming off a close call from Florida, which was one of the 4 overtimes. And they're probably going to be looking for some revenge. And also last year's meeting that ended in a 20-34 in Bama's favor. And do y'all remember 2 years ago? I know you do. This was like probably the most like replayed moment on social media for like a year. It was the game of the season and the game-winning field goal at Tennessee that put Tennessee at 52 over Bama's 49. So I think this is like one of those matchups that is just like it always goes down in history. It's going to be a really fair fight. Looking at like the statistics of each, it's looking pretty good. It's looking like a definite watch.
I mean, these are two of the best offenses in the country. These are two just absolutely electric quarterbacks.
Yep.
It's two teams kind of in the exact same spot right now. They both came out of the gates firing, looked super hot, looked great. And then have stuttered through the last 3 weeks for Tennessee. It's been a little bit rough, too.
Yeah.
With that Arkansas game. They lost to Arkansas. Then the OU game wasn't great either. Then barely beating Florida in overtime. And this is similar to how it's a make or break week for Georgia. It's a make or break week for both of these teams. In that the loser of this is almost 100% guaranteed to miss the playoff. The winner of this, nice ranked win. Probably bump themselves up. Tennessee would bump themselves up into the top 10. Alabama probably jumps back into the top 5. A convincing win for either team goes a long way towards saying, hey, we're not the teams you saw the last 2 weeks. A convincing win for Jalen Milroe puts him back a good game, puts him back possibly in the Heisman contender race.
I think he was always in the contender race.
He is, but it's been a rough. He had a good game against Vandy, and the defense kind of let him down. South Carolina, he did not look good. He looked actually quite poor against South Carolina. And it's just, I mean, this game would be a rough loss to start Kalen DeBoer's tenure as the head coach of Alabama to go to start 5-2. I don't know the last time Alabama started 5-2. I don't know if they ever did it under Saban. Tennessee, it's supposed to be a new era under Heupel. They're supposed to be, you know, contenders. They're supposed to be the big competing with the big dogs at the top of the SEC to fall 5-2 and miss the playoff in the expanded playoff year era, in which it was supposed to essentially be a shoe-in that they made it, would be just heartbreaking, especially when they've been so close the last 2 years, or I guess 2 years ago with the 4-team era. This one's going to be just an absolute, just fireworks all over the place. It's going to be a shootout because neither defense is super great. This is one that's going to be one of the more entertaining games of the year, I think.
It is every year.
Yeah, it could be similar to that 52-49 game we saw a couple years ago, right? The Georgia-Texas game could be a defensive shootout.
This could be an offense.
This one, you know, you could see 100 points scored. The Georgia-Texas game, you might see 40 points scored.
Right.
Or it could be an offensive shootout. But this one is guaranteed you're going to see fireworks. Guaranteed you're going to see some great plays. Guaranteed Ryan Williams is probably going to go for 150 yards. Guaranteed Jalen Milroe is going to run someone over. Guaranteed Nico Iamaleva is probably going to make a stupid decision because he's young, and that's kind of what's cost him. This game, it might be controversial to say, I'm more excited for this game than I am for the UT-Georgia game, just because I think it's going to be a more entertaining watch.
Absolutely. I think that's a pretty fair take. I think both the Volunteers and the Crimson Tide, they're both pretty, like you said, they have a lot of talent. It's just how they're going to use it and how they're going to, you know, execute these plays and, you know, hopefully complete some 2-point conversions, if we could run that one back. But yeah, thoughts?
I don't know. I totally agree with you, Barrett. I think it's going to be a really electric game. I think if I was going to choose to watch one of these games this weekend, it would definitely be the Alabama game.
Yeah, it's very upsetting that it's like dead in the middle of our club baseball game.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely.
We can just turn off the board and just put that game on.
I wish we had access to that. No, it'll be on my phone though. It'll be on my phone, definitely watching in between innings.
It'll be in the dugout at some point, for sure.
Probably will be on the speaker, yeah.
Oh, there you go.
No one will be paying attention to the game. We'll all just be watching college football. That's usually how it goes. Honestly, it's this weekend maybe isn't as packed as last weekend, but there's definitely the top-tier games are probably better than last weekend's were. At least on paper, with the potential to be just absolutely all-timers. So yeah. I'm excited for this game, the Georgia game, and a couple of these games we're going to talk about next as well.
Like number 24 Michigan at number 22 Illinois at 3:30, which is probably also going to be another nail-biting. The Michigan is coming off a bye, and Illinois had one of the overtime thrillers in which they lasted 50-49 over Purdue. When Armada Branch got sacked in the backfield trying to complete a 2-point conversion. Guys, what is it with not being able to complete
a
2-point conversion?
There's a theme I'm sensing.
Yeah, I don't know. 2-point conversions in college football, is that going to be the next big thing? Big thing that we're going to talk about. And needless to say, this is going to be a good one with two top defenses. But Davis Warren will have to outdo himself if he really wants a fair chance versus Luke Altmyer. And it's just going to be, okay, I have a really fun and unnecessary fact about it, but Illinois' last win over an AP-ranked Michigan was in 1993.
Wow.
So, even more food for thought. I'm just filling your heads with food for thought.
That is 30 years ago.
So
for all you 90s babies, just to make you feel a little bit older.
Can they do it again? Can they run it back 30 years later?
Probably. I think the fact that Michigan is favored in this game is absolutely egregious. Illinois is at home. Luke Altmyer is having one of the best seasons in the country.
Yeah.
Illinois is having a resurgent year. They've been really good this year. Michigan literally does not have a quarterback, no matter who they put out there. They're all horrible. I do not understand how Michigan is favored in this game. I think Illinois wins this by 2 scores. Luke Altmyer is having a great season. Michigan is having a horrible season. They really don't deserve to be ranked. I don't really understand how they are, because there's a lot of teams, Nebraska for one, who I think is better than them. I think Nebraska should be ranked over them. The fact that they are still in the AP poll, I think, is a little bit.
After that loss to Washington.
The fact that they're still in the AP poll is so biased by the fact that they started in the top 10 of this in the preseason polls, which is just fuel to the fire of the fact that the preseason polls are the dumbest thing ever. There's no way you can rank a team going into the season purely based off what happened last year or who you think is going to be good. Preseason polls completely corrupt and twist how the poll throughout the year goes, right? Because Florida State is a top 10 team going into the year, and they are 1-5 right now. They're playing, and that's a ranked win for people at the start of the year. That's somehow a ranked win, and they're one of the worst teams in the country. Like, preseason polls are so stupid, they're completely skewing how Michigan is ranked, how Michigan is viewed. Michigan is not a top 25 team in the country. They do not deserve to be a top 25 team in the country. They shouldn't be anywhere near the AP poll. They shouldn't be receiving votes. No one should even be considering them as a top 5 team in the country. They are 4-2. They do not have a quarterback. They're somehow favored against Illinois. I think Illinois wins by probably 2 scores, maybe more. Luke Altmyer deserves his flowers.
All right, so I got to defend my team a little bit here. I'm not going to be biased, but Michigan, you know, that's my team. And I would say, yeah, their quarterback situation is obviously awful right now. I think, like, throwing Orgy out there was, first of all, another horrible name. Throwing him out there was just, it was kind of expected for him to be a lot bigger of a step down than we thought from McCarthy. But at the same time, Tuttle has actually been showing, like, I think Tuttle should be starting right now for sure. I think he should have the starting spot, like, no question. after the last game, because I mean, Orji just he can't make. First of all, his reads are awful, and he seems to just be unable to throw to like receivers that are wide open. I don't see why he's out there. I don't know what Sharon Moore is doing. In the fact that he's starting him, but I do think I mean the run game is obviously really good. They need to keep feeding Edwards the ball, but I don't know actually how good Illinois' run defense is. Like what do we think about that?
Illinois got a good defense. They're very strong defense, very consistent. The other bonus of Illinois is the fact that they will run the ball right back at you, and they will throw the ball right back at you, and so they're not afraid to play a shootout because they trust that their defense is one of the better ones in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a good game, or it could be a really sloppy game and a blowout because Michigan, once again, is not good.
It hurts me because I know Michigan does have the weapons. They just don't have the way to distribute it, like I on offense at least, because they still have Loveland. They still have Edwards. Like, it hurts to watch. I mean, I don't care because last year, I mean, I'm still riding the high. Like, it's never going to go away for, like, the next, like, 10 years. Like, I'm not going to care what happens in Michigan football because – like, why would I at this point? And it was Harbaugh's last year, and everybody knew that. And it was just it was a phenomenal way to go out. It's a phenomenal way to end it. But I do think that it is really painful to watch them because I know they could be really good if they did have a reliable quarterback back there. Because it's just so hard. We've tried the double quarterback thing. We've tried it a couple years ago with McCarthy and McNamara. And it was hard to watch because, obviously, as a receiver, you have to know your quarterback. And if you're having a new guy coming in there occasionally every other play, like, it's so hard to get used to it. It's so hard to – there's not that connection that develops even throughout the game. So it's just – I don't know. I think what they're doing is, like, they just – they need to find their dude.
They need to find their identity.
Yes, their identity even more so, yeah.
And I agree. I think that this is kind of the make-or-break game for both of these teams, honestly. Both of them are – you know, ranked means somebody thinks that they don't belong there and somebody thinks that, you know, they agree. But it's nonetheless it could be lopsided. It could be really lopsided, or it could be, you know, an absolute like crazy, super entertaining game. You just really like can't predict that just yet. I think having the bye from Michigan will give them a little bit more of an opportunity to kind of show up and like actually play to the best of their abilities. And I think Illinois should have kind of a chip on their shoulder from, you know, an overtime win, but a barely a win over 1-5 Purdue. So those are just my thoughts. But backing it way up, all the way back to noon on Saturday, Nebraska at number 16, Indiana. And this is where Indiana's schedule starts to take a turn. They've had it pretty easy. And, you know, not a single team that they have faced has a winning record at the moment. So that just is a little bit more food for thought. This is where I really think Nebraska has to kick it up a notch. Not, like, offensively, as, like, they can't really compete with, like, this outstanding defense. Nebraska has, like, this crazy good defense, but, like, their offense can't really just keep up with them. So this is where they need to absolutely kill it offensively. And Dylan Raiola, true freshman, like, he's not impressing me, but he's not disappointing me. So, like, I'm excited to see what he does.
Yeah, these are two of the better stories in college football this year. Indiana with Kurt Cignetti coming over from JMU, you know, having him ranked, having him undefeated, having him looking really good, versus a Nebraska team trying to return to form, trying to return to, you know, one of the premier programs in the country. Their only loss at a ranked Illinois. They're 5-1. I think they should be ranked over Michigan, as I said earlier. Dylan Raiola, you said you're not quite seeing it, but from a true freshman, he's looked good. He's been, you know, 9-3 touchdown interception ratio. He's been pretty accurate. He's shown some flashes of really good things. He hasn't really turned the ball over. Only three interceptions, as I mentioned. There are flashes there. There's obviously the potential there. You'd like to see him get in the end zone a little bit more. You'd like to see maybe a little bit more trust put in him to air the ball out and just get it down the field. But, again, true freshman. They've been winning. They've looked good. You know, they just beat Rutgers in a pretty ugly game. They beat Purdue earlier. The Illinois loss hurts a little bit.
It was at least overtime.
Yes, it was at least overtime. It was a close game. I do think Illinois is really good. I want to take it back to the Colorado game, though, which is where I think Nebraska's true potential is in that Colorado game. Everything came together. The offense looked good. The defense played really well against Colorado, who we've now seen has a very good offense and has played very well since. The fact that they held them to 10 points shows a lot of great things for that Nebraska defense. The fact that the offense looked really good against Colorado, who is maybe not a great defense, but you still saw the flashes that are there to show that this Nebraska team could be very competitive, could be very good in the Big Ten. Maybe that's a next year thing, but you know, you'd love to see them continue this hot start that they've had, 5-1, continue that, maybe sneak into a Big Ten championship game.
Maybe pull an upset off.
Indiana would love to keep this momentum going. Kurt Cignetti, you know, he said in a couple interviews in the last couple of weeks, all he's done anywhere he's gone is win. Look him up, all he does is win. And, you know, so far at Indiana, that's all he's done. At JMU last year, JMU ever since they came to the FBS, all he's done at JMU has been win. He brought his guys with him, and all they've done so far is win. It's hard to bet against him. But the fact that this ESPN's matchup predictor is 75% towards Indiana, I think is a little bit absurd. I have a little bit of trust in Nebraska. And I on the road, I think Nebraska's actually favored. Indiana's favored. But on the road, maybe not. I like Nebraska to keep it close. I like Nebraska maybe to get the upset. I think this is also going to be a fiery matchup. Definitely, if you have to choose to tune into this game and not the stupid Michigan game, because the Michigan game is going to be so ugly to watch, because, again, they either have a running back playing quarterback or they have a dude who literally can't throw the ball past 5 yards. So it doesn't matter. Watch this game instead of the Michigan game.
Okay, well, Michigan's at 3:30.
Yeah, so watch this game and then take a nap.
Okay. Yeah, I like those.
Or
odds.
Yeah, what? Or like watch a MAC game. I don't know if any of the MAC games.
Or Alabama, Tennessee, that's at 3:30.
Yeah, I'm all mixed up. Yeah, watch that game. Oh, definitely don't watch the Michigan game then.
If that one's on.
Or even Notre Dame, Georgia Tech. Oh, there's so many good games at 3:30 to watch over the Michigan Illinois game. Oh my goodness. Oh, Charlotte Navy. Yes. Watch that game.
Jeez.
Watch the Charlotte Navy game. The Navy midshipmen are the most exciting story in college football this year. I'm so fired up for a Navy national championship. Don't even get me started. Or an Army national championship. God, I love the troops.
They're going to party.
I love this country.
They're going to party like American men do.
Party like it's 1776,
yes,
baby. Let's go.
Yes, they're going to put the quarterback on the next dollar bill if they get the national championship.
I think I would vote for him for president. I'm going to write him in on my ballot.
I'd die. Okay.
Okay, well, I hate to bring it back to Nebraska, but Because I'm just not a Dylan Raiola fan. I had to bring it up.
Okay.
I'm not. This is completely personal, completely biased, because we love bias.
We hate bias, actually.
We love it. We love it. He's from Arizona, and he transferred like 4 times, I think. I think I'd have to fact check that. I'm pretty sure he transferred.
This seems like a very biased hatred.
No. Okay, it's completely biased, and I'm outrightly saying that. He's transferred to, let's see, he was at Pinnacle, which is very close to my house. And like I knew who he was for a while. Like I knew about him. I knew he was pretty good. I didn't think he was that good. But then I heard he transferred to like Chandler or whatever, and then he's transferred to 2 other schools. Like, I would just, yes, he's kind of settled down, found his home in Nebraska, and he's playing really well. But I do think, like, if I'm a receiver or I'm, like, somebody who's going to be, like, building a connection with him and I see that he's coming in, having transferred from 4 different schools, I'm going to be a little hesitant about, like, you know, if I can not trust him as a person, but trust him as, like, is he really going to take me to where I want to go, you know what I'm saying? And I just don't, like, I'm not a big Dylan Raiola guy. Nothing personal, I just, you know.
Understand. There's a little bit of, you know.
I think loyalty is very important, and yeah. I think transferring however many times he did, I swear it was 4. I don't know. Also, I think the him looking like Patrick Mahomes thing is so annoying. I think he's playing into it so hard.
It is a little bit off-putting, I will say
it's
that.
I know he's doing it on purpose, and yes, he's getting a ton of media coverage because of it, and like Patrick Mahomes is like, you know, tweeting about it, like whatever. But it like gets really annoying at one point. It's like I don't know. I just...
Because Patrick Mahomes is annoying.
Yeah.
We can say that on here.
I hate it, like, because he's a great player, but, like, he's definitely a little bit annoying. And then, so, having another person, you know, kind of, like, dressing like him, he's trying to, like, play like him in some ways. You see him doing those sidearm throws and he'll look passes in practice, too. But I just think it's annoying because I just don't like him. I don't really like him.
I love your honesty.
Yeah, completely unbiased. Fully unbiased, I'm sure, yes.
Obsessed. Well, let's get into the most entertaining part of this episode. Our super dogs.
Let's do it.
I'm so excited.
I've got three this week, actually, but I'll stick to one.
Okay.
You can start us.
No, I'm not going to start us. I'm going to let Chase start us off, kick us off.
All right. So mine's going to be Notre Dame, Georgia Tech. I think Notre Dame's offense just isn't that good. And I think Georgia Tech's going to capitalize on that. What are you guys' thoughts?
I'm a big Haynes King fan. I think Haynes King is very similar to Riley Leonard. So, honestly, I don't hate it. I think if Benjamin Morrison. There we go. Came to me. Benjamin Morrison is hurt now, out for the season. Are you familiar with Benjamin Morrison?
Oh, yes, of course, yes.
Yeah, I know. As an Arizona guy, I know you are.
Oh, I know all about him, yes.
Yes, but Benjamin Morrison out for the year now, that's a big blow to that Notre Dame defense, which has been limping through the last couple of weeks, we'll say. Georgia Tech is Georgia Tech. They've been the same team for the last couple of years now, ever since Haynes King got there. They win some games. They lose some games. They look good. They look horrible. This could be a game I think they come out and look great in. The Notre Dame rush defense is very good, but they've struggled a little bit with rushing quarterbacks, and so I could see Haynes King capitalizing off that. So I do not hate the Georgia Tech pick at all.
I'm gonna be honest. When you said you were bringing that Arizona point up, I did not know you. Like, I thought I was joking when I said I knew. Like, I did not know he was from Brophy. That is very interesting to know about. Like, because I have a ton of buddies from Brophy. One of my club baseball friends, actually. Mr. Spitzer, he's also from Brophy.
He is from Brophy, I know.
He's a Brophy alum.
Oh,
iconic. I mean, they're just putting out like athletic specimens, I guess, just on the
best corner in the country. He's now injured. Who's your super dog?
My super dog is Nebraska. And I'm really happy with this pick because they're coming off a bye week and it's a 6.5 spread, and it's like a mediocre win over Rutgers, so they should be fired up for facing the 16th best team. Or allegedly, we're about to find out. It would be the upset of the week, in theory, because both teams, they do have the potential, and I really hope to see them both use the best of their abilities. I'm excited for this. I'm not gonna lie, this one does have me a little bit fired up, because I mean, I want to see where Dylan Raiola, I want to say I am impressed by Dylan Raiola. So
I'm not.
Yeah, we know. We heard that earlier.
Yeah, we get it. We understand.
My super dog actually hurts me deep down to the core because it's BC at Virginia Tech. And for those of you who have been listening all season, know I'm very high on Virginia Tech. I picked them to do very well in the ACC this year. They've struggled a little bit. They're 7.5-point favorites at home against BC this weekend. BC, on the other hand, had a great start to the year. A little bit of rough last week, or they've struggled a little bit recently, but I think they'll win. I think on Friday night is when they play, unless they play tonight. Oop, I completely lost the game. Anyways, BC at Virginia Tech is my pick because I think the Virginia Tech offense is a little too inconsistent. Kyron Jones is a little too inconsistent. He's got the potential. He's a great athlete. I don't know where it is as a thrower so far. The defense has been not great, not horrible. We'll see. BC, I think, just has the fire. Thomas Castellanos is a very good quarterback. They've got the potential. They've got the support there down in Chestnut Hill right now. Everyone is there for him. Everyone is fired up to see BC be good at football again.
Oh, yeah.
Billy O'Brien has his boys just fired up and ready to play great football. So 7.5-point favorites, or 7.5-point dogs on the road. I have BC over Virginia Tech this weekend.
I like it. And on that note, that is all from us. I would like to thank Barrett, Chase, and especially Caleb. And College Gridiron is a production of WFUV Sports.